morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's snowy northwest side. And I think we're having some technical problems here with microphones. And this is Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. on a very, very snowy Friday morning in Chicago.
That was a really nice move just before we went on the air. You were very nimble the way you just reached over and helped Dennis with his microphone and his headsets. And it's part of your New Year's resolution of just staying fit and in shape, right? Happy New Year, by the way. Nice to be here.
Blessed, happy, healthy New Year to you, Wayne, and the family.
Thank you.
And to all our listeners. And, you know, Wayne, it is really tough out there. This, by the way, co-host is Wayne Magyar's Vice President and Chief of Staff, Loyola University. Good morning to you, Wayne.
Nice to be here. Good morning.
Yeah, but for you to get here to the
it was
studio.
It was a grueling 90-second walk.
Archbishop
from the office.
Quigley Center was across the street, and I came in from Edgebrook area. It is treacherous out there.
Yeah,
it is snowing heavy, and I'm not a news weatherman or anything like that, but if you are driving out there, please, please, extra time, space between cars. I was on the Edens and the Kennedy, and the plows just can't get out there.
Yeah,
it's too many cars.
It's going to get worse as the day goes on. So.
We're talking, I'm hearing 3 to 6, 4 to 8, and it's hard to believe that winter is less than officially 3 weeks old, and it feels like it's been about 3 months already.
Right.
But we have a tremendous
program. That's why we
have
Dennis here today, because he's brought the Florida sunshine with
exactly.
him.
I hope so.
You know, 3 weeks down in Florida, and we have a tremendous show lined up here on Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. And we have in studio, we have with us Dennis Marks, who is part of the leadership committee of a huge event happening on Saturday, February 7th at Maria High School in Chicago, Parish Leadership Evangelization Day. And Dennis is also a parishioner at St. Edmund's in Oak Park. Dennis, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Well, thank you very much for having me today, and Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you very much, and I know you were on the program last year and the year before, and I think we also, Jim, we have, Howard is on the phone. We have on phone all the way from St. Hubert's Parish in Hoffman Estates, Howard Kovacek, who is a member of the committee and the Public Relations Committee. Howard, is it snowing out there by you in Hoffman Estates?
Yes, it is. It is coming down.
You were smart for not driving in.
Yes.
You would have been here by Sunday. And, so
but
maybe
thank
Dennis,
you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being part of it. We're also waiting for Rita Katner, the Director of Office for Councils, and I think she is literally stuck in traffic right now. Wayne, she might be listening to the program.
She may be.
So
call in, Rita.
Call in, Rita. In fact, what is our number here? I can't. Hold on.
751.
No, it's changed. Nice going. Nice try. Our new number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. Call in regarding questions or comments. And Dennis, regarding the whole Parish Leadership Evangelization Day 2009, what has been the background and the history? How did this whole thing even come about? When did it start?
It started in 1984, and the idea was that parish organizations such as the parish councils and the finance councils of various parishes needed some formation and training to help them out, to help them succeed. And we invited leaders from these various organizations and the members of the staff of parishes to attend. And the program has increased in size and in breadth, I would say, every year since that time. This year, we have added a new dimension to it in that it's now not just Leadership Day, but it's Leadership Evangelization Day. And the Office for Evangelization and Father Jordan Kelly, who is the director of that office, has taken part in this and expanded the program to have an emphasis on evangelization.
Now, why the change, Dennis? What's the reason for the expansion?
I think that our archdiocese, through Cardinal George, is certainly put a big emphasis on evangelization. We've been given that directive from Rome some years ago, we've recognized that part of our training and formation should be in evangelization also.
Now, this is a great opportunity because not only have the committee members in some cases carried over from year to year, and they've kind of learned from previous programs and how to make it better each year, but this is really a way for the laity to come together and recognize that while there are unique characteristics to their parish, there's also a lot of commonalities across the archdiocese on leadership issues, faith issues, things that bring together a faith community. And that is a lot of what's going on within the various sessions and seminars for this entire day at Murray High School.
Right? That's exactly correct. As a matter of fact, we're starting the day for those who would like to come early at 7:15 just to meet with other parishioners and to share some common issues and problems and suggestions and so forth before the actual event takes place at 8:15, which is our kickoff.
Then are allowed to come at 7:15 in the morning just to meet other parishioners from parishes throughout the Archdiocese. And what I find so interesting about an event like that is it's sometimes so easy to get caught up what's happening in your own faith community, which is fine. But then you realize the diversity of the Archdiocese of Chicago, not only the scope of size, but the tremendous different types of parishes that are out there and the need to be able to learn from each other. We are taking phone calls again at 312-255-8408. Maybe if you've been to the Parish Leadership Day in the past, to give us a call and give us your impression about it, because as we go through the half hour in the program, the first half hour today, talk about some of the various workshops. Now, Howard, what is your whole role in the Parish Leadership Evangelization Day coming up on February 7th?
I was on the parish council for the past 6 years. I'm not on it now, but I have attended two of the parish leadership days the past 2 years, and I tell you, it's a full day. It's a great day. It's a long day, but very worthwhile. Presently, I'm on the public relations committee that's headed by Don Kilian and Marianne Costella, and we are promoting the Parish Leadership Evangelization Day.
Now, Howard, does every parish in the Archdiocese send at least one delegate to this?
They are recommended to, and I know in our deaneries, I'm on our deanery up here on Deanery 1 DEF, and we are asking that each parish and each of the pastors have been contacted to send at least 10 individuals. We have also floated the idea that a parish think about funding the registration fee for their sharing parish and the lunch fee on that.
Howard, let me ask you, who is invited? Who should be there?
Traditionally, it's the parish council members, the commission members, leaders of ministries, and this year they have added any interested parishioners that want to get involved. And it's not only for training, it's excellent topics and for the parish council and the commission structure, but also the spirituality, the deepening of your spirituality.
So really, it's really wide open to everybody.
Oh, yes.
And if you take a look at the offerings of various seminars and topics during the day, which we'll get into after the break, there's really a plethora of places where specific interests can be advanced and some good dialogue can take place. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Wayne Najars along with Father Greg Sackowitz, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith here on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors. The time is 9:12 on this snowy, blustery Friday day in Chicago. If you are driving, please, please drive carefully. Give yourself a lot of extra time. It is bad out there. It is bad. And we have guests we have with us in studio, Dennis Marks, a member of the Leadership Committee for Parish Leadership Evangelization Day, to be held on Saturday, February 7th at Maria High School. And we have with us by phone Howard Kovacic, who is a member of St. Hubert's Parish in Hoffman Estates and a member of the PR Committee. Take it away, Wayne.
Dennis, let's talk a little bit about the program. A wide variety of topics in English and Spanish and Polish, really capsulized by the words that summarizes faith, knowledge, and skills, and bringing those three legs of the stool together for leaders within parishes throughout the Archdiocese in evangelization and in parish leadership roles. Talk a little bit about the program, what somebody who may be planning on coming will experience, and some of the sense of the breadth of various topics that are going to be discussed.
Yeah, Wayne, it's a full day. It begins at Maria High School. Actually, we have an early presentation at 7:15 in the morning for those that would like to be early birds to get there and share some thoughts and issues and common problems and solutions with fellow parishioners from around the Archdiocese, not just those folks in their own parish. But the official program kicks off at 8:15 in the morning. We have a very exciting and dynamic keynote speaker.
And who is that, Dennis?
And that's Hector Molina, Jr. Hector is the director of the Office of New Evangelizations.
I like that. Hector,
the director.
I like that.
Right. From the Archdiocese of St. Louis, Missouri. He's a very inspirational speaker. He's going to do our keynote first in English, and then he'll be doing it in Spanish. After that, we'll begin with our workshops. And we have over 90 workshops. And for those of you who've attended in the past and sort of said, been there, done that, we've added the majority of our workshops now are new this year. So there'll be a lot of new things for you to see and hear and be a part of if you've attended before. Each participant gets to choose three workshops to attend out of more than 90 in our program.
Now, then just give us an idea briefly. Just name a few of the workshops that, like, even you may be attending, or just maybe of interest, because people may say, okay, there's 90 workshops. I know from past years there's a tremendous range of workshops, but what are a few that are happening that might tweak people's interest?
Well, first of all, we've broken these down into various areas, one in mission, one in parish pastoral council formation, one in learning and formation, worship and service. And let me just give you an idea here. In the section on mission, we have strategies to evangelize young adults. Every parish has a concern about bringing their young adults into greater participation in parish activities and in the faith community. In parish pastoral council training, we have a session, a workshop on building consensus, working together, one on process and gift discernment for new parish council members. In learning and formation, formation as a part of every parish leadership meeting. How to be formed in the faith and how that should be part of every meeting that you attend in a
parish. So many ways, Dennis, is that many of the workshops are very practical.
Absolutely.
Not just theory, but really helping people experience in terms of what works, what doesn't work based on their own experience, and also the need to learn from each other. Now, Howard, when you were there last year, this might be kind of making you kind of go back in time. Do you remember the workshops that you attended in the last couple of years?
Last year, I attended, there was a session on taking Vatican II teachings to the synagogue, church, and mosque. And that was, presenters were Sister Joan McGuire and Sister Mary Ellen come, and many people attended, and it really gives you a flavor of what is going on out there. That was one. I attended one on finding the kingdom in daily life, and that was a presenter by Father Robert Sears, and Cardinal George had one, the challenge of secularism.
Now, Howard, after attending last year's leadership day, how did it transform you? How did you really apply, and how were those sessions and workshops helpful to you in your work at St. Hubert's Parish in Hoffman Estates?
Well, to me, attending leadership day, it's like experiencing a good retreat. In other words, the feeling, the experience, and afterwards, the number, we sent 13 down last year. We had them summarize, each of the individuals summarize the high points, and then at our parish council meeting, we had them attend and just speak on, what they got out of it and how they could help their ministries, how they could help the parish. Very eye-opening, and it was interesting, and what it does, it brings out thoughts for other people, to piggyback on that. But just a very high energy level, and you get to know your own parish council members and commission members also, because we had to carpool down there.
And I want to pursue that a little bit more, Dennis, with some of your reflections on maybe what the expectations are for the planning group for those in attendance on what they bring back to and how that kind of is measured on whether the success of the day has really trickled down into the into parish life. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We're talking about the Parish Leadership Evangelization Day for 2009 coming up at Maria High School on Saturday, February 7th, and we'll be right back.
You're invited to watch, The Church, the Cardinal, and You, this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Cardinal George tells bishops from across the nation that our society must protect the right to life if the common good is to be served. We'll talk to the Cardinal about the fall meeting of U.S. bishops, and we'll shine a spotlight on Spanish ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago as we highlight recent Hispanic Catholic services and events. Thanks for joining us for this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:21 on this Friday morning in Chicago. I'm, again, Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majars, Vice President and Chief of Staff, Loyola University, Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Questions you may have regarding Parish Leadership Evangelization Day to take place on Saturday, February 7th, at Maria High School, which is 6727 South California. And Dennis, before we get into a question, give us a phone number that people may call regarding information or how to register.
They can call the office for consuls. That's 312-751-8364.
The number once again.
312-751-8364. And that's for any registration materials or any questions you may have about Leadership Day.
What about a web page or website?
It's on the Archdiocese website. We have a link right on the Archdiocese website. So they can just go onto the website, look for the link there for Leadership Day. It's very prominent, and you'll see their whole brochure there and registration materials right on the web.
Which I know is www.archchicago.org. And a link that clicks to Parish Leadership Evangelization Day.
That's correct.
Now, the thing is, we mentioned earlier that the Cardinal Francis George will be present for the day. And specifically, what is going to be his role or roles, Dennis?
Well, first of all, he has been a great supporter of this event every year. And normally he does a workshop, and he also engages in a question and answer session over lunch. This year he's doing a session in the afternoon, and you can sign up for that. I'm sure that will be one of the most popular sessions. The topic is A Universal Church Speaks to a Global Society, and that will be an hour-long presentation by Cardinal George. In the question and answer session at lunch, we convene for an hour, and people hand up questions in writing, and he'll answer any question on any topic, and he does a great job, and that's one of the highlights of the day.
And then he does the closing liturgy as well, right?
He does. He's the celebrant, and any priest that attends can also be a concelebrant of the Mass. We have a wonderful homilist that we've engaged this year to do the homily, and that's going to be Harold Burke Sievers of Orem Cordis.
Okay. We talked before the break, Howard was reflecting a bit, Dennis, on his experiences last year and how that has really translated into his work and leadership at St. Hubert's Parish in Hoffman Estates. But how does the committee look at the effectiveness of Leadership Day after it's over? Is there some type of evaluation that attendees are asked to fill out? How do you know it's working, and how do you make it better next year?
Well, we probably make the announcement 10 times or more during the day to make sure that you are filling out your evaluation if you're an attendee. And from that, we organize probably a month after the event every year and go down through what the comments are, what the things are that people are looking for, what they got out of it, how they planned on sharing this information at their own parish, all those type of things we look at and try to evaluate what we're doing right and what we can do better. We can always do better, and we strive to do that every year.
I just want to interject, Michael May, our engineer, just gave us a new phone number because we no longer are at 155 East Superior, but now we're here at what used to be Old the Quigley Seminary, which is now the Archbishop Center, the new Pastoral Center. The phone number that if you want to register and learn more about it is 312-534-8364. The Office of Counsel's number is now 312-534-8364, which Dennis would not have because the brochure was actually printed before the move was made over here. Howard, all the way from St. Hubert's in Hoffman Estates, part of the PR committee. Anybody listening may want to ask you or could ask you, why should I go? What difference is it going to make? What would you tell him or her?
Boy, I would say it's a day that I look forward to. Like I had said before, it's almost like the experience of going to a good retreat.
Which is outstanding.
Not only the topics, and as far as training in, with the parish council and the commissions, but also the spirituality. And you're rubbing elbows with the great of the Archdiocese, facilitators and the other people, and you learn from each other when you're in these topics, these classes, and just getting together with yourself. And I know Dennis was saying the Cardinal answers questions at lunchtime. This is a highlight of the day, and you're eating your lunch, but also you're listening to the Cardinal.
I'm assuming some of those questions are pretty tough.
Well, I'll tell you what, he answers them all.
Yeah.
He's right.
He doesn't
there.
Shy away from them.
That's right, and that's a treat. That's a treat there.
Dennis, you've not only attended previous leadership days, but have been in a leadership role yourself in organizing all this. What would you say I wanted to ask you for the top 10, but the top two things that you've taken away from previous leadership days that have really resonated well with your work at St. Edmunds?
Well, the nuts and bolts type things, how to invite people to get involved. How to run meetings, those kind of things are when I was starting off in a leadership role in St. Edmunds, they were of extreme value to me. All those kind of ABCs of how to do things and how to get people involved in working in the parish. But I would say that more than that, just as Howard has indicated, this is a day of inspiration also. And so you come out of this really charged up to go back and to bring some of these ideas back to other folks and to say, you know what, we're not the only parish that is suffering from this particular malaise that we've had, and here's how other folks have attacked it, and boy, I think we can solve the problems just as they've solved their problems, or this is how we can encourage people to become more a part of the parish and more active in the parish.
You know, what I have found is that this weekend we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. And what is so important for all of us to realize is it's by our baptism that we are called to share in the name of the Lord. So I would find that Parish Leadership Evangelization Day is an opportunity for people of the entire Archdiocese of Chicago. You realize that we are not alone, that the Lord is with us. We learn from each other. And I think either, as you said, Dennis or Howard, it's a shot in the arm to be with other people. And you realize with some of the joys, the strengths, the struggles, you'll learn from each other, and somehow we're not alone. The Lord is with us. And I always tell people, you know, sometimes people have said to me, well, I've stopped going to church because the church is this and that, and my church has done this and that, whatever. I always tell people, okay, if you find the perfect church, please join it. But now know by you joining it, it's no longer perfect. Because we're all imperfect sinners who are forgiven by God. We need to bring the first half to a close. I want to thank in a very special way Dennis Marks, who's part of the Leadership Committee for Parish Leadership Evangelization Day 2009 at Maria High School. And also want to thank in a special way Howard Kovacic, a member of St. Hubert's Parish in Hoffman Estates and a member of the PR Committee. Again, the phone number to learn more about this huge event in the Archdiocese. It'll be a spectacular day. 312-534-8364. Again, 312-534-8364. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break. And do not touch that dial.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with co-host Wayne Majars, and we are located in the lower level of the new pastoral center here. I'm assuming
that's in case you want to come by and visit us and shower us with New Year's gifts or something, right?
Or call in.
That's right.
Or call and tell if it's still snowing outside. We're assuming it's still snowing like crazy. And time is 9:33 on this snowy Friday morning here in Chicago. For the second half of the program, we change gears. We have with us in studio, back by popular demand, Sister Joan McGuire, the Director of Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Sister Joan, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here and talk about the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity.
And that's what we're about here. It's the 9th Annual Ecumenical Prayer Service and Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. And we also have with us by phone, Reverend Edgar Hestand, Jr., Secretary of the Ecumenical Millennium Committee and member of the United Methodist Church. Ed, welcome to the program this morning.
Glad to be here.
Now, where do you live? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oak Park.
Is it still snowing out there?
Yes.
Okay, right. I think you just gave us our weekly
Ed, Friday. You should have told me it was sunny in 72.
That's and right. There's been
we'd be over to see you shortly.
There's been a big change to the forecast. Well, Sister Joan, tell us about the history of the Ecumenical Prayer Service and Week, which is January 18th to the 25th. This will be the 9th annual. How did this whole thing begin, and who began?
Well, that's a kind of a long story, and I think I'd like to start with what we're doing this year,
okay,
and then work backwards.
Fine.
Because it is we've been on the program before talking about the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, and I might say it always is during snow time, but nevertheless, I hope our audience, if you can't get to these programs we're talking about, you certainly can pray during this week in your own hearts and in your own homes. What we're excited about this year is that it's going to be a bilingual Korean-English service, and it's going to be held at the St. Paul Chung-Ha-Sung Korean Catholic Mission in Des Plaines. So I think, Ed, would you say that's why we're really kind of excited about this? Because it's the first time we've centered on an ethnic group other than the sort of European background people.
Right. And the way we started 9 years ago, we were more meeting down in the Loop area. But we decided that this needed to get out into the communities of the metropolitan area. We were on the south side of Chicago last year, this year in Des Plaines, and it's going to be very exciting that we are having this bilingual service and tying it in with divisions that exist around the world between cultures, within nations. And so it should be meeting exactly what is really the goal of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity.
And this new twist to go out into a different ethnic community really puts an evangelization flavor and spin to the ecumenical prayer service this year, no?
Right, and I think that it's important to realize that we're in a global world, and the global world is right here in Chicago, in this area. And I think that the fact that the theme for this year's ecumenical service is from Ezekiel 37, 17, that they may become one in your hand. And the service was drawn together through the Pontifical Council and the World Council of Churches by the Korean Church. And certainly the nation, North Korea, South Korea, desire to become one in God's hands. Ezekiel certainly wanted the north and south end of Israel, northern kingdom, southern kingdom, to come together, and certainly our prayer that they may all be one, echoing what Jesus was praying.
So the thing is, again, this whole...
All those things fit together in this global world.
And the thing is, and so again, the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity kicks off on Sunday, January 18th, 4 p.m. Again, it's the 9th Annual Chicagoland Ecumenical Prayer Service to be held at the St. Paul Chonghasang Korean Catholic Mission, which, in all honesty, Sister Joan, I had never heard of. I'm over at St. Mary of the Woods in Edgebrook. And Des Plaines is about 20 minutes west of me. And again, for those, it's 675 Dursey Lane in Des Plaines. Who is the preacher, and who's preaching that day?
Well, the preacher will be the Reverend Victor Scantlebury. He's the assistant bishop of the Episcopal Church, and he is a African American. And that was where the service last year was held, in an African American church. But when you mention, I think that I also did not know that much about the Korean Christians, and particularly Catholics here in Chicago, and. It's a wonderful story of the Korean church, because it's rather new in terms of Christianity. But the people, if you come to the service, as you walk in, you'll see this wonderful mural, and it shows the many martyrs in the last century, you know, the late 1800s, in that area when there was persecution. And the other thing is, in these countries, it was really many times the lay people who discovered the Christianity and called for Jesuits to come in. So it's a wonderful story.
Talking about the 9th Annual Ecumenical Prayer Service and Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which is coming up on Sunday, January 18th, with Sister Joan McGuire and Reverend Edgar Hestand, who is the Secretary of the Ecumenical Millennium Committee and a member of the United Methodist Church here in Chicago. And you're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM, the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Wayne Majors, along with Father Greg Sackwitz, and we'll be right back after a short break.
Christians around the world celebrate the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity from January 18th through the 25th each year. You are invited to celebrate the 2009 Week of Prayer for Christian Unity at the 9th Annual Chicago Ecumenical Prayer Service. Leaders from nearly 20 Christian churches of Chicago will participate in the service, celebrated in both Korean and English, on Sunday, January 18th at 4 p.m. at St. Paul Chong Hasang Korean Catholic Mission in Des Plaines. Please call the Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs at 312-534-5325 for more information. That's 312-534-5325. And remember always to keep in your prayers the unity that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ desired for all Christians.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:41 on this snowy, cold Friday morning in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. We have lost our co-host. Wayne Majars has to get up to a meeting at Loyola University Lakeshore Campus. And with this weather, needs a little extra time, but I'm still with you along with our guest. You know, Sister Joan, if Wayne and I had both walked out, you could have done bird calls. You could have carried on.
We have a lot to say about this subject.
You definitely do. And our guest for this half hour are Sister Joan McGuire, the Director of Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs, who is with us in studio. And also by phone, Reverend Edgar Hestand, Jr., Secretary of the Ecumenical Millennium Committee, a member of the United Methodist Church. As we had mentioned at 9:30 in the very start, Joan, I'm fascinated, this being the 9th Annual Ecumenical Prayer Service and Week for Prayer for Christian Unity, how did this whole thing begin? Whose idea was it?
All right. We'll start with the Ecumenical Millennium Committee, the 9th year of this, because if we go to the actual history, we'd go back 100 years, and particularly back to the 60s. But with the Ecumenical Millennium Committee, at the time of the millennium, Cardinal George wanted a ecumenical component to that celebration. So our office and Ed's office and many of the Christian communities knew each other, so we called together about 17 people and put together a vigil service for the new millennium, which was, if you remember, looked very hopeful in terms of unity in many ways. And after we had done that and written an ecumenical prayer, we wanted to continue it and made our main goal is just to see that the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity was celebrated every year. And in particular, that our the leaders, the judicatory heads, the bishops, superintendents, whatever were people who were leading their churches, would come together once a year to pray for Christian unity. That's really why we do this, because it's just very important for the world. And so each year we do our Ecumenical Millennium Committee meets and plans a prayer. One thing we'd like to say about this year, I think, is we got a local community very, very involved in the planning. I don't know, Ed, if you wanted to comment on that.
Yes. Each year we have used the service, which comes from the World Council of Churches and the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity. And each year it is developed by some region of the world. This year, being Korea, we thought, why not use the gift that we have in our metropolitan area of having a local committee do some of the planning with Korean churches? There are United Methodist Korean churches, Presbyterian, Roman Catholic. So it seemed like a good idea to have them deeply involved in this, and they have really taken the ball. And
I would have a question. How did you get involved with this whole ecumenical grouping? I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of other things to do, but you seem energized by this. How long have you been involved, and how did you get started?
Another long story. Go ahead.
How long do you want to go? Okay. Student at Northwestern in 1954 in the World Council of Churches. Met there, and I was the person who delivered mail to all these representatives. And from then on, that's the rest of the story.
So you're going back to it as a young man in 1954.
Yes.
And may I comment on that 1954?
Sure, Joan. That's the year you were born.
If I were, if that were true. Ed was there because of this World Council of Churches assembly. And at that time, 54, Cardinal Stritch said that no Catholics could attend that. And in fact, I think only maybe a couple Catholic theologians snuck in. That was 54.
No, that's interesting.
10 years later, in 64, during the Vatican Council, we have this wonderful document and installation of structures that make this go on. So the change. And to realize what since 64 has happened within all
now,
our churches.
I find that fascinating. The event that took place in 1954 on the campus of Northwestern University, or was in the Chicagoland area.
Ed, you could speak to that. It was in Evanston.
Evanston, yes.
But it fascinates me that Catholics were told by the cardinal, which is then Stritch, Catholics may not attend. And, of course, with Vatican II going from 62 to 65, it just opened up the doors and the windows. So in that 10-year period, and then from 64 until today, and I find the need not only to talk about ecumenism, but to do it.
Yes.
But to do it. I mean, sometimes we get tired of talk and then do it, and to share and would celebrate what unites us.
And, you know, Greg, that there's another aspect to this. We're very involved in the planning and creation of this service of ecumenical leaders, of bringing the communities, Korean, Anglo, Hispanic, Afro-American communities together. But you have to realize that the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity is also operating in local churches.
Mm-hmm.
There are places. There's an AME service taking place in Evanston, and the Focalari group is having something on the 24th. So there's different things that are people who can't get to the single service. They can pray. They can do things in their local church. They can find out what's going on in their community that is ecumenical.
We have a bilingual Spanish English at Our Lady of Mercy. Also, the other thing, getting down to the very local is important, but the other thing to realize that this prayer service has been sent out to everyone, every church that belongs to the World Council of Churches. So that's all these Protestants throughout the world are praying this during this time. And then from the Pontifical Council, they've gone to every bishop in every part of the world. So I think as we pray in very small local groups or in your home, it always snows during this time. So just that Sunday, be praying. And I'm sure there will be petitions on January 18th in terms of prayers for
reconciliation. Yeah, every parish was given a series of petitions
right.
for the faithful to use. And you know what I find fascinating, just thought of the story. My mother's brother, Uncle Ted, who's a great athlete, and he was telling me that back in the 1930s, when he was a young man, he was not allowed to go to the YMCA because he was Catholic, and that was a Protestant gathering. And so then my grandmother and grandfather, my grandparents, forbid their son, Uncle Ted, their Ted, to go to the YMCA because Catholics were not allowed there. And look at how far we have come. Now, I still think we have a long way to go. We're going to take a break here on Catholic Community Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackwitz. And our guests are Sister Joan McGuire and Reverend Edgar Hestand. And our phone number, 312-255-8408 on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Chicago Bears executive Pat McCaskey attended a Catholic elementary school, high school, and university. He's glad he did.
The Bears have always emphasized community work, and I learned how to do that in the Catholic schools.
The Catholic schools of Cook and Lake Counties enjoy extremely high attendance and graduation rates, and they put students on a clear-cut path to college.
My wife and I have been blessed with three sons. We want our sons to continue to attend faith-based schools.
Pat McCaskey is backing a new Catholic schools initiative, Lessons That Last a Lifetime. Call 312-655-8486 for more information. That's 312-655-8486. Support Lessons That Last a Lifetime.
Good character and gospel values are just as important as good grades.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:52 on this Friday morning in Chicago. This weekend we celebrate the Baptism of the Lord, which officially ends the Christmas season, and Monday we go back to ordinary time, even though there's nothing ordinary about ordinary time. And we have with us the guest in studio, Sister Joan McGuire, and by phone, Reverend Edgar Hestand. The event coming up, the week of Christian unity and prayer and the whole theme of the prayer on January 18th. What is the theme for this year, Joan?
Well, as we said, it's that they may become one in your hand from Ezekiel, that they may be one. Of course, we would recognize from the prayer in St. John's Gospel of Jesus praying the night before he died that all may be one. And that has very broad ramification, and we're use it, the ecumenical offices uses it as their scripture. The from Ezekiel, reading that, you must read around the 17th verse. It's the image of two sticks, Ezekiel bringing the two sticks together, and they're bound together in love. So I think as we do this for Christian unity, we want to bring together all of the sticks, all of the churches, and bind them in love. And that's a very important, and will be dramatized. The local community is going to have a dramatization of that alienation and then reconciliation.
And that would be found, you said, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 17, roughly?
That's the quotation that we gave.
Exactly.
But I think
The passage itself is at the time that the northern and southern kingdom are separated, and he uses the image that God wants these two bound together, like two sticks that would be wrapped together. And as this service has developed, we see that there's so many parts of the world where there's clash of civilizations, there's separation of churches, and so on. And this is coming right at the very same time as Martin Luther King Day, and when he was giving his Nobel Peace Prize lecture, he said, "We've inherited a big house, a great world house." That's the same word as ecumenical, which we have to live together: black, white, Eastern, Western, Gentiles, Jews, Catholics, Protestants, Muslims, Hindu, a family unduly separated. We have to become ecumenical rather than sectional, he said.
And I really like that because, you know, I really find when we gather in the name of the Lord and celebrate what unites us, and also to celebrate the diversity. So much can be accomplished, but you know, we have spent centuries at times divided, and it always just, I just can't believe it, at how much divides us, even within families. I mean, about 15, 18 years ago, I'll never forget this, I buried a woman who was 95 years old, lived alone, wonderful little old lady. Her 90-year-old sister came to the rectory to make the plans with me. And I sat down with her and said, can you tell me something about your sister who I'm burying, who is 5 years older than you? She was 95 and this woman was 90. She looked at me and said, I have not talked to my sister in 64 years.
Oh,
I said, what?
Yeah.
I said, I don't mean to get personal, but what happened 64 years ago that divided you where you have not talked in over half a century? Now, her mind was sharp, and she was very articulate, and she said, you know, it's been so long, I can't remember. We both refused to forgive one another for whatever it was, and our lives took separate paths. And I thought, how sad. How sad on a personal level in a family. We try to be then united, because the Lord's talking to us always about being one.
Right. I think when you mention that relationship with each other, I think that's something that's very, very important in speaking to each other. But I do think we can really be grateful that in these last 45 years or last 100 years, how often now we are, the Christian communities are talking with each other. I mean, our little Ecumenical Millennium Committee meets, but the all of the community, I mean, if we look at how many dialogues are going on between the Roman Catholics and many of the other churches, Ed would be involved, and also how many sticks have been brought together. One of the great things that happened a couple years ago is this churches together in the United USA. And those that includes five families, the Roman Catholic, the Protestant, the Orthodox, the African-American churches, and the evangelicals. So those people are speaking with each other and also then remembering those past hurts and they're being dissolved through communication. Ed, would you want to speak to the Protestant, the group of what is it, seven or nine, the churches coming together?
Well, there's a number of movements. There's the what they call a conciliar movement, but also just plain bilaterals and dialogues that are taking place. Churches uniting in Christ. One of the things we find as we work within the ecumenical movement is that God has already given unity. It's not complete. It's not perfect. We're not there yet, but already we're unabashedly borrowing from each other.
Ed, I hate to cut this short, but we've got 25 seconds. I want to get this in here now. If you cannot attend the Week of Evangelization, the event on prayer of January 18th, a wonderful opportunity to be one with Christians throughout the world, see www.artschicago.org. Click on the departments, click on Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs, click on 2009 Week. I want to thank in a very special way our guest, Sister Joan McGuire, the Director of Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs for the Archdiocese, and Reverend Edgar Hestand, Secretary of the Ecumenical Millennium and of the Committee and a member of United Methodist Church. Thank you also to our producer, Jim Dish, our engineer, Michael May. To all, God bless. Safe weekend.
Yeah, let's go.